wrote this? I guess anybody, because it's Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is the best thing ever. Anyone in the world can write anything they want about any subject. So you know you are getting the best possible information.
All right.
Is it recording?
Always.
It's me.
Yep.
Cool.
Hey, so what's different about this episode?
Oh man, what's not different about this episode?
Well, we're in a different city.
We got a man with us.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Will Dickinson, and I'm a friend
of
the podcasters. Can you stop interrupting me when I'm trying to introduce myself?
So, if you're gonna play our game, Will, you're gonna have to know that this is a situation where we do a lot of interrupting.
This podcast might as well be called "What Did You Say?" I didn't hear you because
I was talking over you.
That was good, Rach. Here's the thing, Rach. I really think we should try to interrupt each other less this episode. Because I was listening, I'm like pretty self-absorbed.
Do you think people don't enjoy it?
I'm pretty self-absorbed. So
isn't the witty banter what brings them to the table?
So I was listening
metaphorical table, that is.
Will fits right in.
I was trying to not talk while he was talking, but it meant that I just couldn't talk at all.
Yeah, see, that's why we've got a fight. So where are we going today?
That's a great question, Rachel. The theme of this episode is going to be traveling.
Traveling.
What is your...
Like any good athletes.
Best travel story or worst? What's your worst travel story? Mine is when I lost my debit card in the bottom of Niagara Falls.
Oh, that sounds quite horrible. Did you go over Niagara Falls in a barrel, and is that when the credit card popped out?
It was the best vacation when I was in the barrel, but then after it reached the bottom and I got out and I was like, I need to buy my poncho as the souvenir. Reached in my pocket, realized my... See, this joke wasn't that funny. But the point is that I lost my debit card in the bottom of Niagara Falls. I feel like they gave me my poncho. There's no way I would have bought that.
Mm-hmm. My worst travel story is that one time we were in... This isn't even that bad, but we were in Israel and my dad lost the key to our rental car. So we just sat outside the Israeli museum for like 4 hours waiting for the person from the rental car in Tel Aviv, which is like 2 hours north of Jerusalem. No, probably more than 2 hours. But that's not even that bad of a story, you know? And what the good thing about it is that David and I ended up getting to go to the Museum of the Hebrew Bible or something.
Have we ever traveled together? We went to Vermont.
You brought Sugar Shack.
I did.
And I navigated. We went through tolls accidentally.
Mm. Yeah. Have we been anywhere else together? We went to the Cherry Blossom Festival.
We did do that.
We've been to Nashville together. We've been to Florida together. Oh, I'm thinking of other ones, too, when we went skiing and we both tumbled down.
Oh, that was bad. I'm not a good skier.
Nope.
Sydney did a little scoot on your butt down the mountain.
Literally, I was just straight up flat on my back down this mountain. They were like, pizza, and I was like, I'm dying.
And I was like, my left leg somehow doesn't work. And then I fell down.
And, oh, on the way up, somebody threw up in my car. Oh, I, like, stopped, and then they got out and threw up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, your worst travel story is when you got sun poisoning.
Oh, yeah, I got sun poisoning.
That was a dark time. Rachel drove home. I drove home. I'm sorry. I drove home for how many hours? Like, 14 hours?
It was 17.
17 hours with your feet in a bucket of ice.
Yeah, because Benadryl didn't work. to numb the pain, I stole a trash can from the apartment we were staying in, filled it with water and ice, and then sat with my feet in a bucket of ice up the east coast of the United States
and
of America.
And then somehow your travel story where you got to go to a museum is worse than this.
It was the first thing that came to mind because it's the last situation I was in where something went quote-unquote wrong.
So we've done quite a lot of traveling together.
Yeah. We've seen some things.
We've seen the world. Will, have I done any traveling with you?
No.
All right.
Have I?
No.
Well, here we are, journeying together in this unknown city that we're in right now.
Undisclosed.
Undisclosed location.
For matters of safety.
National security.
Indeed.
Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I would love to go first.
All right, go for it.
So I thought, so just we're talking about journeys, etc. So I thought we'd start at the basics.
I'm scared and, that you're going to have what I have.
I decided that it would be great to start with the Wikipedia page for the road trip.
Oh, okay.
A classic American rite of passage institution. Thank you, Dwight D. Eisenhower, for the interstates.
Infrastructure.
Yeah.
Is my jam.
That is not the first time he said that.
Infrastructure is my jam.
It is documented. I am very interested in infrastructure.
So he's got high expectations.
I am excited to hear your commentary on this, then. The Wikipedia definition for a road trip is that it's a long-distance journey on the road. Typically, road trips are long distances traveled by automobile.
Traveled by the automobile?
And that's all that Wikipedia has to say about road trips. No, I'm kidding. So who wants a history of the road trip?
I know I do.
We're in for it
either
way.
Let's do it. So the first road trip by automobile took place in Germany in August 1888.
On the Autobahn?
Let me get there. I haven't read that far yet. So Bertha Benz, the wife of Carl Benz.
Of Mercedes?
The inventor of the first patented motor car.
Wow.
Traveled from Mannheim to Pforzheim. Pforzheim.
Mm. Literally, you said all those letters, and I didn't even, in my head, form a picture of what that combination of letters would look like.
That's German for you.
It's like you sneezed and consonants came out on the page. So she traveled a distance of...
No, I'm going to guess.
It's in kilometers.
I was going to say 44 kilometers.
Ooh, higher.
45 kilometers.
I see what you did there, but you're going to have to shoot a little higher
65
there.
65 kilometers.
That's close to the mile count, so that'll help you because you know the conversion.
I know math, I know distances, and gosh darn it if I don't know German geography. Is it 70 kilometers? No, that doesn't make sense.
No. Will, do you have any guesses?
I'm going to say it's 111 kilometers.
Ooh, very close. A little too high.
A little too high. Oh. Is it over 100?
It is, just barely.
102.
A little more barely.
101.
Okay, a little more than that.
101.5.
Okay, I don't... This is getting too thorny. It was 106 kilometers. So she was in the third experimental Benz motor car, which had a maximum speed of, wait for it, 10 miles per hour.
Oh.
And she drove with her two teenage sons, Richard and Eugen, but without the consent and knowledge of her husband. So the first road trip was, I don't know, what was it? A beautiful declaration.
You're on the Wikipedia page. I can't tell you.
I'm working here with my own definition.
Poetic.
It's a beautiful declaration of feminine independence. Mm.
Mm. Do you think that Richard? Wait, what were their names?
Richard and Eugen.
You think
it's like Eugene without the E at the end.
Okay, I guarantee you that Eugen got car sick a lot, even though they're going 10 miles an hour.
You can tell that Eugen was the puker.
Uh-huh. 100%. I also think that who got to pick the music and what do they listen to?
Yeah, see, that's going to be hard, because who brought the gramophone?
They listened to some Cecil.
Eugen, get the records. We're going in the car. That was, I don't know what accent that was.
Really
wait, let
it.
Me try again.
No, it's that thing where, like, all of those
Eugen
historical dramas.
Eugen, get the records. We're going in the car to Pforzheim. Don't tell father.
This is my new favorite character.
Okay, what was the official reason, do you think, that Bertha decided to take this road trip?
Business. No, that would have been too obvious.
Pleasure.
With
their two sons.
Let me think. Oh, Richard had never seen the beach before.
Will, any thoughts?
No.
Okay. This episode brought to you by Will saying no. Her official reason was that she wanted to visit her mother. Sorry, I just did air quotes and no one can see.
But
hopefully
but
you could hear
inflection.
It in my voice. But unofficially, she intended to generate publicity for her husband's invention, which had only been used on short test drives before, which succeeded as the automobile took off greatly afterwards and the Benz's family business...
No, you're thinking of planes that took off.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I get Bertha and Orville and Wilbur mixed up all the time.
Bertha and her two sons, Orville and...
I just really like popcorn.
Wilbur. So you just said it and I forgot.
You like popcorn?
He's talking about Orville Redenbacher?
Oh, see, I am slow.
It's kind of like a poor...
I'm driving 10 miles an hour up here in my brain.
You really got into character there.
Thank you. But yeah, the automobile took off greatly, and the Benz's family business eventually evolved into the present-day guess...
Mercedes-Benz.
Well played.
Is it the Ford? What is Ford?
Well, Henry T. So presently, there's a dedicated signposted scenic route in Baden-Württemberg called the Bertha Benz Memorial Route to commemorate her historic first road trip.
Are you only allowed to drive less than 10 miles per hour?
That's what I was thinking. I guess.
Well, I have to make funnies too.
Where did she fill up on gas? Did they have gas stations back then? Did she just have to hope that...
No, the car was really old. It was like a cramp. It's their feet. You gotta walk. That's why it's like, think of the Flintstones.
Right. That's why she brought Richard and Eugene. They sat in the back and pedaled.
Wilma!
And she said, mush.
mush! I can't do it, Jermax. Will is, like, miming stuff. Do you know what a podcast is?
I'm unfamiliar. No one explained this to me. It's an undisclosed location. Talking to the recording
thing.
It's unfamiliar, yet you sought this out and asked us to do this.
We're in an undisclosed location because we've kidnapped Will. And we're holding him for ransom. So the first road trip in North America was transcontinental, and it took place in 1903.
Wait. The first road trip was transcontinental?
Across. Wow, he's coming in strong now. Let me back up. It says, so the section says, first road trips in North America, and the first sentence is, the first successful North American transcontinental trip.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of qualifiers.
Like, going state to state, like, really failed, so they were like, you know, I have an idea. Let's go all the way.
All the way. Don't look back.
No looking back. Horace Greeley, is it Horace Greeley or Horseman? Go west, young man.
Young man, go.
You west. Do it.
West is where you want to go.
Head over there.
Young man.
You know, it awaits.
Anyway, so it took place in 1903, this trip. And
I get it. It's like WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might actually be helpful for the people at home.
So WikiLeaks.
That's why we're in an undisclosed location.
Julian Assange, if you're listening.
I'm actually here in a white
Julian
wig.
So the first blah, blah, blah. It was piloted by H. Nelson Jackson and Sewell K. Crocker.
Okay, what does the H stand for? Sewell. What does the K stand for?
Let me do the follow-up clicking.
H stands for...
I don't want to lose this
Horace. And the K stands for...
Kurt? Or...
Kermit.
Kermit?
Kermit was my grandfather's middle name.
Kiefer Sutherland.
It's that.
Horatio Nelson Jackson.
Oh, Horatio Nelson.
He was a physician and an automobile pioneer.
Named after a famous...
So they were accompanied... They also had a third member on their trip, much like Bertha and Richard and Eugene.
Sure. And like us.
And like us. They were accompanied by a dog named... Think Air.
Air.
Think Golden Retriever.
Air Bud.
Close.
Bud. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
They were accompanied by a dog named Bud. No more info on that. It was completed using a Winton touring car dubbed Vermont by Jackson.
No way!
It took a total of 63 days to go between San Francisco and New York, and it cost $8,000, which probably in that time was like $1 billion.
I think
roughly.
So.
The total cost included items... such as, I don't know why it's giving us the, like, supplies list of a road trip.
They needed some money to get the dog its own sidecar and goggles.
Oh, of course.
That's, like, $4,000 right there.
He did have goggles.
Did
look
he
at his
really?
Goggles.
Man, goggles. Did I call that or did I call that?
You did call that.
You called
literally,
it.
Literally, it's on tape. I called it.
So the total cost included items such as food, gasoline, lodging, tires, parts, other supplies.
What? Okay.
Sketchy.
Parts and other supplies?
Parts, as in parts for the car, as in they broke down in the middle of somewhere, perhaps, and needed another,
part?
A part.
I also like that they have a distinguished tires.
Carburetor? Is that a thing in the car?
Not anymore, but back then.
Perhaps. And the cost of the wind. Northwards of Sacramento, the noise of the car covered the fact that the duo's cooking gear was falling off. They were also given, just, I guess, also while they're in Sacramento, a 108-mile misdirection by a woman so that she could send them to the spot where her family could see an automobile.
Oh my gosh.
That is simultaneously charming and I don't know
the
what the
most
other
frustrating
thing is.
Thing I've
just
ever.
Hilarious. Like, if I were Horatio Nelson Jackson, I don't know, I'd probably
marry her.
Yeah. Forget Bertha.
Bertha, babe, got bad news. I'm 108 miles out and also I need to divorce you.
Ooh. At one point, Bud drank bad water and became ill, but survived.
Oh,
Oh, do you want to know the story about the goggles?
Yes.
So they obtained Bud along the way.
Hmm.
In Caldwell, Idaho.
He was a pit bull. Right?
He's a pit bull. I have two pit bulls.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thanks. Neither of them have goggles, but if you tell me where Bud got his, I might.
Yeah, here. I'm about to. Yeah. So Jackson had wanted a dog companion since leaving Sacramento, but newspapers at the time gave a variety of stories of how Bud was acquired. Ugh, yellow journalism. You know what I'm saying.
I like muckraking. I like this idea of this guy leaves for a cross-country road trip, and he's like,
whole time he's just pining for a dog.
It's going to be so hard, but you know what I really want to introduce to this whole extremely complex scenario? Another living creature that can't communicate with me.
And it would just be better. Who would need to go on walks?
He already had the goggles.
Is he trained? Will he pee in the car?
Is he rabid? Because they just picked him up, it sounds like.
Yeah, so in a letter to his wife, Bertha, Nelson said a man sold him the dog for $15, which is equivalent to $400 in 2016.
Ooh.
It turned out that the dusty alkali flats the travelers encountered would bother Bud's eyes so much, since the Vermont, their car, had neither a roof nor a windshield,
sure,
that Jackson eventually fitted him with a pair of goggles.
That's just the most precious thing you've ever told me.
And they became celebrities along their way. The press would come out at every stop to take their picture and conduct interviews. All American story. Happy 5th of July, America.
Happy 5th of July, Rachel. Happy 5th of July, Will. Happy 5th of July, Bud. America, the beautiful.
One small step for some people, one big flight for America.
John Glenn, 1965.
Talking Marty McFly here?
No, I'm talking real time travel.
H.G. Wells?
Here's the thing. The title of this article is Time Travel Claims and Urban Legends. Mm-hmm. I did not go for the time travel page because we haven't done the science episode yet.
We gotta save that up.
Sure.
Save it.
Hold back. Okay, so the introduction. There have been various accounts of persons who allegedly traveled through time, reported by the press or circulated on the internet. These reports have generally turned out to be either hoaxes or based on incorrect assumptions.
In a few specific circumstances, though.
So the first section is called travelers. So these are just people who have done it. Based on our previous episodes, I just went with how I usually do it and opened it, didn't read any of these. I'm going to blindly pick some. So,
dude, I feel that.
This one is entitled, in quotations, Chaplin's Time Traveler. In October of 2010, Northern Irish filmmaker George Clark uploaded a video clip entitled Chaplin's Time Traveler to YouTube. The clip analyzes bonus material in a DVD of the Charlie Chaplin film The Circus. Included in the DVD is footage from the film's Los Angeles premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater in 1928. At one point, a woman is seen walking by, holding up an object to her ear.
Oh, no.
Clark said that...
It's a seashell.
It's a seashell. And that's how you...
Really?
Know. No.
Oh.
Sorry, sometimes...
I'm a psychic. I see all.
You came back from, like, 30 seconds in the future when I told you it was a seashell. Clark said that on closer examination, she was talking into a thin black device that appeared to be, quote-unquote, a phone. Clark concluded, only conclusion, that the woman was possibly a time traveler. So, Nicholas Jackson, associate editor for The Atlantic, says the most likely answer is that she was using a portable hearing aid, a technology that was just being developed at the time, which I have imagined that to be like ear trumpets, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
The miniature gramophone.
Philip Skroska, an archivist at the Bernard Becker Medical Library of Washington University thought the woman might have been holding a rectangular ear trumpet. Am I a time traveler?
We're learning so much about ourselves.
Here's the last sentence, which I feel like it undercuts everything all of the debunking I just shared. New York Daily News writer Michael Sheridan said the device was probably an early hearing aid, perhaps manufactured by Acousticon. I read that as acoustic.com, which would have, I feel like, just kind of undone everything.
Wow,
Oh, here's a still.
Do we know who the lady is?
Here is a still
image.
Paint
us a word picture, Sid. You're good at this.
I will. Oh, the picture is so, so, so small.
Is it quite grainy?
I see a horse and a woman.
Horse is from the future.
The horse is...
You can tell because he's texting.
The horse has a Google Glass. No, this woman is... Do you know that part in Harry Potter when Neville's biggest fear is Snape dressed up like his...
Yes.
Grandmother?
Yeah, and she's got, like, the fox.
Yes,
the fox
that is
fur.
How she's dressed, and it does look like she's talking on a cell phone. You cannot really, it's the size of a postage stamp.
I can't even.
It's like I need to be...
Where's my magnifying
to
glass?
To be time appropriate, it's like I need two monocles to, like, squinch and look.
Shall I strike a match? Isn't 1917 an excellent year to live
polio.
In? I got out of the iron lung just recently, thank you. Is it too soon?
Too soon? I feel like we can joke about polio. No, we can't. I don't know. Oh, God. The story of Rudolph Fitz is an urban legend from the 1970s.
An urgent legend.
An urgent lesson. Oh, God. Am I literate? Okay.
Yes, you are. You have a bachelor's degree. That's the biggest thing that's
sounds
changed.
Like correlation.
Oh, yeah, it's true. The story of Rudolph Fitz is an urban legend. From the 1970s, and has been repeated since as a reproduction of facts and presented as evidence for the existence of time travel. The essence of the legend is that in New York City, in 1951, a man wearing 19th century clothes was hit by a car. Marty McFly? The subsequent investigation...
Bertha was probably drafted.
I don't know how to run this thing.
Richard, you just stop peddling!
The subsequent investigation revealed that the man had disappeared without a trace in 1876. The items in his possession suggested that the man had traveled through time from 1876 to 1950 directly. The folklorist Chris Aubeck investigated the story and found it originated in a science fiction book of the 50s, which had copied the tale from a short story called I'm Scared by Jack Finney.
Jack Finney took it to his 5-year-old and was like, he read it, and he's like, what should I call it, son? And his son was like, I'm scared! Boom.
John Titor? I don't know how to pronounce it. But between 2000 and 2001, an online bulletin board user, self-identified as John Titor, became popular as he claimed to be a time traveler from 2036 in a military mission. This is like Terminator. Holding the many worlds interpretation is correct. Yeah, and he ran for governor, and...
Of California.
You're really doing a good job with the characters today.
Thank you.
Holding the many worlds interpretation,
isn't that
small.
Stephen Hawking's jam?
Perhaps.
That there's many multiverse, there's a
multiverse
out there.
She says while gazing into a battery or something.
I'm just looking at my charger, I don't know.
He stated that many events which occurred up to his time would indeed occur in this timeline. I'm not really positive. Oh, but he was wrong, because these included a devastating civil war in the U.S. in 2008, followed by a short nuclear World War III in 2015.
A short one, though.
Short one. In the
you guys don't remember the Civil War?
Listen, that's going to freak me out. In the years following his last post and his disappearance in 2001, the non-fulfillment of his specific predictions made his popularity decrease. It was still there, but it just
where did he disappear to, though?
Well, if he
the
was
year
online...
2080? That's my guess.
That's your guess? Well, it does not say. But criticism has pointed out flaws in Titor's stories, I guess, besides, like, the fact that his whole story was not true. An investigation suggested his character may be a hoax and a creation of two siblings from Florida. Where else?
That hotbed of time travel mythology.
Yes. Also, I'm pretty sure I watched a documentary yesterday on this guy.
You're pretty sure you watched it, or?
I'm pretty sure it's where this guy about whom I watched a documentary yesterday who claimed that he was abducted by aliens a bunch of times.
Ooh, dang.
But I don't remember if it was Florida or if it just felt like Florida.
You saw some palm trees and some older people in the background, and you were like, it feels right. Is that Rachel? Does she have sun poisoning?
Yeah, does she have a trash can in her hands? This guy's name is Håkon Nordqvist.
Håkon Nordqvist.
No, what is, how do you pronounce an A with a circle immediately over the A?
I don't know.
Well, it's Olga with Håkon Nordqvist. He is Swedish, and he uploaded a video in 2006 claiming that he had been accidentally transported to 2046 when attempting to fix the sink in his kitchen.
There you know how it goes. Just messing with the incinerator, and then suddenly you're in a whole new dimension.
There in the future, he immediately met someone who revealed and proved to be himself about 70 years old, and with whom he had a great time. That's how you know he's lying, because I don't think if I hung out with me that I would have a great time. You know, you gotta have the yin and the yang, and I would just be two yins. Two yins having an okay time, at best.
What a solid colored circle. How yeah. Boring.
Yeah, it would just be one black circle, with no dots. He filmed a short footage. That's a weird way to say that. He filmed a short footage of the two smiling and hugging each other and showing the tattoo they had in their right arm. I think Håkon wrote this because it is not this person's first language, not English. But unfortunately, the story was reportedly a marketing campaign promoting the pension plans of the insurance company AMF. If you told me that that would happen if I bought AMF insurance, I would actively not buy AMF insurance. You know?
That you'd get transported to another...
Again, I do not want to see what I look like at 70. Just let me get there, and then I'll...
Yeah, you'd rather be the frog that slowly boils than be pan-seared. I don't know where the metaphor was going.
That's very good. That's
Thank
very
you.
Good.
You know where it's that, like, idea about, like, a frog...
A watched frog never boils, yeah.
yeah, exactly. It's the old adage from Mother Bertha.
It's translated from the German.
Mother Bertha always said, the watched frog never boils. Well, I've got a different kind of trip.
Hit me.
This time, let's talk about a psychedelic trip.
I knew it. That was what I was going
to
say.
Or, as Wikipedia likes to refer to it as, psychedelic experience. So it's a temporary altered state of consciousness induced by the consumption of psychedelic drugs such as LSD, mescaline, psilocybin, 2C-I. I shouldn't do this because I'm going to reveal that I know nothing.
That's
For example... The term acid trip refers to psychedelic experiences brought on by the use of LSD. The term psychedelic derives from Greek words meaning mind-revealing. There's a distinctly gnosis-like quality to psychedelic experiencing. Gnosis meaning...
knowledge.
knowledge, in case you couldn't hear that. If a road trip reveals to you greater expanses of geography... and time travel reveals to you your best pension plan opportunities.
Nice. This episode brought to you by AFC or whatever.
AMF.
AMF.
Psychedelic experiences are, according to... it is bowling. 9-pin. 10-pin bowling, you know?
10 pins.
Psychedelic experiences are interpreted in exploratory, learning, recreational, religious, mystical, and therapeutic contexts.
Also, then there's, like, you accidentally thought that that was just a regular brownie. I feel like if I were to do that, that would be the circumstance.
I did have some blondies that I was going to serve you guys earlier, but then I was like, we need to be lucid for this podcast. So, the psychologist Benny Shannon observed from ayahuasca trip reports, the assessment, very common with ayahuasca, what is seen and thought during the course of intoxication.
Intoxication.
Did you eat some of those blondies?
I don't know how to tell you. So this is all an elaborate ruse to say that I can't go nanny today. I'm just kidding.
Sorry guys, I had a lot of ayahuasca earlier.
During the course of intoxication, the course of intoxication defines the real, whereas the world that is ordinarily perceived is actually an illusion. I just read a sentence that I have no idea what I just read.
Say it one more time.
Okay.
Oh, but I would like to preface the repetition with something that I've said since I was in ninth grade, which is something that Tyra Banks said when I was in ninth grade. Perception is reality, and what you believe, that's really you. So go on.
Why did we reference Tyra? I just want to get us back.
Because perception.
Yeah, so the psychedelic altered state of consciousness is commonly characterized as a higher state, an elevated or transcendent state relative to ordinary, sober experience, that what is seen and thought during the course of intoxication defines the real, whereas the world that is ordinarily perceived is actually an illusion.
I got it now. Do you get it?
I'm still not sure. All
right, let me explain it to you. I just took a lot of ayahuasca, so it's making sense.
I, like, see it, dude.
What Benjamin is saying is, look at my hand. Have you ever looked at your hand? Isn't that crazy? What he's saying is that when you're on ayahuasca, that is what...
I believe it's ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. The world is revealed to you, but, like, okay, it's, like, the opposite of what we as people who are not on drugs would believe. We're, like, this is real, and what's on drugs is, like, a skewed perception. It's the opposite, where when you're on drugs, that's the real, and life as you are sober is...
Like, the veil falls away.
Exactly.
And you get to see more clearly.
Tune in, drop out. What? Turn on, tune in, tune in. Oh,
stop, drop, sure. And roll.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know?
Turn down for what?
Tune in.
Twist and shout.
Turn on. And drop that. Susan Sarandon, Timothy something. Timothy's, God, what's his name?
Psychologist Stanislav Grof described the LSD experience
Timothy
as...
Timothy Leary. The veil, it's falling away.
It's just, it's shedding. Shedding?
Turn on, caring. Tune in, drop out. That's the phrase.
Stanislav Grof described the LSD experience as
complex revelatory insights into the nature of existence, typically accompanied by a sense of certainty that this knowledge is ultimately more relevant and real than the perceptions and beliefs we share in everyday life.
Will, I'm scared. Stanislav, is that you?
We just revealed that the city we are in is Moscow. In his book, The Doors of Perception, author and psychonaut, I love that word.
Wow.
I'm going to click on it for more.
I would guess it's an explorer of the psyche.
It is.
Shut up. Aldous Huxley. I'm really struggling.
Shut
to
up,
speak.
Aldous Huxley.
Author and psychonaut Aldous Huxley presents the idea of the mental reducing valve in order to explain the significance of the psychedelic experience. That just makes me picture the brain as a faucet.
Listen, save this for the science episode.
Let's not. Okay, so basically the whole thing is that if you're going to have a psychedelic experience, if you're going to take an acid trip, you're going to watch the world make sense. What am I saying?
Yes.
It's more about things falling away than things being added onto your perceptions.
Right. What would you say? What do you think would change? I think I would get better at math.
I think I would inevitably get better
at
math.
Do you hear the air conditioner
turn on? Yeah, I think my mom turned
Avon got hot. Avon's always been hot.
Man.
Honestly, I was also getting hot. It's like we're back in the
yeah, I know. My palms are sweating.
My palms are sweating too,
always.
Rachel. We're gonna miss this. Ooh, that was a good high five.
Palms sweat.
Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit. You know, he's so bad, but he's something. Anyway, this episode brought to you by Eminem.
I was right. Hey, I...
Lose yourself. It's about tripping.
Listen, this summer, I'm trying to learn all the words to Rap God.
Oh, do it.
I'm like 1 minute into it. But
I've
been listening to it on repeat as I've been taking road trips. It's all coming
together. Psychedelic tripping consists of a small number of distinctive phenomenological characteristics.
Oh, yes.
The major identifying characteristics include alterations of visual perception, psychotherapeutic breakthrough experiences leading to personal growth, experiences of religious epiphany, mystical transcendence, and quote-unquote bad trips, much like bad moms, negative and unpleasant panic attack control loss experiences. So Albert Hofmann, the discoverer of LSD, described how during his bicycle ride home after his first deliberate LSD self-administration, it went
like
this.
How first deliberate, like there were a couple accidents.
Where he was just, he was making coffee and he spilled it.
What a
just
nightmare.
Imbibed it.
What a nightmare.
Everything in my field of vision wavered and was distorted as if seen in a curved mirror. So being on LSD is like being in a perpetual carnival house. House of mirrors.
Thank you.
Let's go. Where the clowns, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying and I'm not interested.
Hey, psychedelic visual alteration also includes spontaneous formation of complex glowing geometric visual patternings.
That doesn't sound like an appealing thing.
Ooh, shapes. I see the world as it is and not as I perceive it. Let's go.
Shapes, shapes, shapes.
I have a friend who said that when he was tripping, he experienced, like, he was able to see, like, fractal geometry.
Nope.
Fractals.
Fractals.
I don't understand
fractals.
That.
Fractals.
Fractals.
I used the word fractals as an Instagram caption one time.
Fractals.
So I feel like I'm really qualified to explain this.
Here was my first thought, and I'm going to regret saying it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Fractals. I hardly know her. It's a bad joke.
I'm the one that said fractal geometry, so here we are.
Yeah.
Is it geometry?
Fractal,
yeah.
It is geometry.
I was talking to a friend yesterday about his experience with LSD. And he said it was very positive. I just do not foresee.
Yeah.
Rachel, I would do most things with you. I agreed to get a tattoo with you.
Yep. The pact exists.
Hey, drop LSD, go get our tattoo. That actually sounds like...
And then record a podcast.
Literal hell on earth.
Or the unlocking of our minds.
That's true.
Would mean that we don't need to be confined.
Good
job. Our mortal bodies. I don't know.
You
I
transform
just...
into an eagle, and I'm saying, can you give me a tattoo?
One moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity, oh, there goes rabbit. He choked, he's so mad, but he won't give up that. No, he won't have it, he knows. His whole back's at these ropes. It don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go back to this moment.
So trips. Which of the three trips would you most like? What was my story? I already forgot.
Yours
was
time travel.
Okay, would you like to travel in time? Would you like to drop LSD? Would you like to go on a trip with Bertha? Or would you like to go on a trip with the other people whose names I already forgot?
I would take LSD, travel back in time, join Bertha, Richard, and Eugene.
Oh, Rachel.
Boom. The trifecta. The tripfecta.
Hmm.
My work here is done.
Done. Should I look up a WikiHow?
Ooh, that's what I was going
to
do.
Oh, let me do it. How to go back in time in 11 steps. Who doesn't want to visit ancient Rome or see a live dinosaur or maybe stop themselves from making a life-shaping mistake, says WikiHow.
WikiHow just knows.
Number one, method one, travel back in time with physics. Step one.
Sign me up.
Step one, go faster than light.
Okay, does it give
Here's
you
a photo.
Some abilities?
Well, that's very
helpful.
So
it's
just
it
speed
looks
up,
like
turn
a
blue.
Very blue Q-tip.
So, method two, dive through a wormhole.
Okay, are we playing Portal? I can do that.
This one, I love. Travel forward and let the future figure it out. Take a trip at speeds near the speed of life, but not quite there.
Does it give you any, tips or advice for how to achieve the speed
sure,
of light
yeah.
or exceed it?
Sure, no.
No.
Oh, okay, if you spend a few years zooming away from the Earth and back, you will return to find that more years have passed on Earth than have passed for you. So, also, another option is to freeze yourself in suspended animation. Method two, go back in time emotionally. You can figure that one out yourself.
I just listened to Noah Gunderson to do that.
Okay, so here, I'm going to read you a couple questions from the community Q&A, and then we're good to go. I'm not going to read you the answers. You can figure those out yourself.
Okay.
Number one, if I go back in time, will people in the present notice I'm gone? That's a sad one. Is it possible to take objects from the past with me? I will read the answer to this. Using the physics way, if you are in a jet, anything inside the jet will go back with you. will people in the present remember me when I'm gone? No.
I don't, yeah.
Okay.
Because we can, see, here we are.
Three more questions. How do I stop myself from making a terrible mistake? Feels unrelated. Number two, would there be two of me if I went back in time? Good question. Answer, not if you travel back in time using the light technique. Is there an actual way to go back in time? You just read the WikiHow article.
Come on. Some people are so dense. What's the internet for? Good grief.
Is this real or fake or a joke? Rude, rude, rude. All right.
Some people.
Trips. Summertime.
And the living's easy. Fish are jumping. And your mom is cooking.
So,
I would just like to list 10 famous explorers. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really want to do that. I would
quickly, I'd like to read a paragraph on 10 famous.
I just want to say,
oh, that made me laugh.
I just
want
to touch on that WikiHow for how to plan a road trip.
Step one, find a wormhole.
The first step is to set a vision. Second step is to decide where you're going. You have to know how long you'll be gone. What the heck?
Okay, I didn't do that when I packed for this trip to see you in Moscow, and I only brought 2 shirts. Let me tell you, it was a mistake.
Yeah, I was the only girl flying from America with literally no luggage. I wore my 2 shirts. And you went off the plane in your bra, or...
Good point. I was held in security.
Step 5, communicate with your traveling companions. Do you think Jackson did that with Bud along the way? Bud was like, woof, woof,
Lord knows
there's sand in my eyes, woof, woof. And Jackson was like, still driving.
63 days later, thank God I got this dog for $500. We only had $10 left to spend on tires and other supplies.
It does give you a good reminder to work out your food situation.
That is a good reminder.
Because you'd hate to be somewhere without a plan for your food situation.
You're just in the middle of Iowa. Like, I don't know.
If you will be traveling with children, they may need some sort of entertainment to stay engaged in the car, such as pedaling. Thanks, Richard and Eugene.
Buying a dog.
All right, this isn't very funny or interesting.
Yeah.
It's like basic life stuff that everyone should know.
It's real. It's not fake or a joke, so it's not that interesting. Wiki freaks. This episode
brought to you by
a bowling
serious times. Bowling, Aldous Huxley, and Yvonne,
and Mercedes-Benz.
Do you that was four
sponsor us?
Probably.
I'm gonna come up with one more because it's the rule of fives. Wiki freaks. Have a good road trip, everybody.
Stay safe.
And
remember to thank Dwight D. Eisenhower for the
infrastructure. Thanks, Mike.
From chilly Moscow, this is Rachel Gaffin.
Will Dickinson.
And Alex Huxley.